Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning again. Here comes something we haven't had in New York City for a while, a debate about across-the-board budget cuts. The city budget has been relatively flush for many years. For many years before that, when the country and the city went through recessions, there were big debates over how much the city should cut spending in various areas because the city is required by law to balance its budget every year, how much to raise taxes, how much to do other things. And here we are as the cycle seems to be coming around for the first time in a long time. Mayor Eric Adams yesterday ordered city agencies to significantly cut their budgets over the next couple of years. All municipal agencies are being asked to cut spending by roughly 8% over the next 2 years. And yes, for those of you wondering, as the first question that pops into your minds, even the NYPD. In a statement, the mayor said, quote, "We currently face new costs that will increase the city's obligations by billions of dollars, including growing pension contributions, expiring labor contracts, and rising health care expenses. This program to eliminate the gap," as he calls it, is a strong and decisive action that will protect both the city's financial outlook and funding for critical programs and services, promote efficient government operations, and protect the city's long-term financial stability. That's a quote from the mayor. But those who are concerned about this and are starting to criticize the mayor already say the move could hurt the already strained delivery of key services. And that, of course, is going to be the downside of budget cuts. City services are so vital to so many people in so many ways. And how many calls do we get on the show week by week when we have city council members on saying, we need more funding for this, we need more funding for that? Joining me now to discuss is Elizabeth Kim, reporter who covers mayoral power for the People in Power team here at WNYC and Gothamist. Hey, Liz, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Tell us more about why now.
Well, you know, there is a serious risk of a recession. This measure comes roughly a week after the mayor met with the New York State Financial Control Board. For listeners who might not know or remember, that's a board that's created to review the city's finances. And that was created, if you remember, when the city during the 70s was on the brink of bankruptcy. The city's nowhere near that. But the board, during its meeting last week, had some budget experts that made, you know, I would say somewhat concerning projections. And again, I think we should emphasize that these are projections. But one of the more alarming ones, I think, was something that the state controller, Thomas DiNapoli, said was that he estimates that in 2026, the city would face a budget shortfall of $10 billion. So that brings us to where we are today. I think that Mayor Adams would say that, you know, he basically was is taking, you know, those kinds of statements very seriously. And thus we have this memo asking all agencies to look at making cuts over the next several years.
And if the state controller is right, that's a really big budget deficit. $10 billion in context is 10% of this year's city budget. The city budget is right around $100 billion for the year. If you take 10%, one out of every $10 out of the city budget, that's inevitably going to have real impact on people, right?
Yes. You know, one of the interesting things about this tool, which is called the Program to Eliminate the Gap, as you read in that statement from Adams, is that the conditions are it shouldn't bring about layoffs and it shouldn't bring about reductions in services. Now, the latter, I think, would really strains, you know, credulity for people to think that you're asking to make these kinds of across the board cuts without impacting services. But technically, you know, he's asking agencies basically do more with less.
And that's what politicians always say. Oh, we're going to do this with efficiencies, not reductions in services. And sometimes they can, but a lot of times that's just campaign talk. Listeners, if you work in a New York City government agency and happen to be listening right now, we can take your calls on the implications of these projected budget cuts and requested budget cuts by the mayor, shorter term and longer term. If you have anything specific that you want to say or to ask our reporter, Liz Kim, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or tweet at Brian Lehrer. And this comes at an interesting time, Liz, because as you know, there's already such a big debate about education funding with the declining enrollment in the New York City public schools. The mayor wants to cut the budget commensurate with that, sort of percentage-wise, proportional to the number of students that have left. But there's a big to-do with city council and in the courts over whether it's even legal to cut education funding that much and how much it would hurt students in this time, you know, coming out of pandemic, remote learning and all of that. And this new law that Governor Hochul just signed to mandate much smaller class sizes in New York City, which the mayor has objected to from the start because that would cause more expenses, more teachers, more space. So there's an interesting moment here where there are demands for more spending, particularly on education, and the mayor saying, hey, we're going to have to cut everything.
Right. You're so correct about the timing and how interesting the timing is. And yes, it's literally just days after the governor signed that class size bill, which would, you know, within a year, and it's going to be phased in. But essentially, it's going to ask the city to start creating smaller class sizes, something that the city has estimated could cost, that it would have to spend around $500 million a year on. You know, you can take that projection with a grain of salt. But regardless, the mayor and the city is facing a lot of calls from, you know, different, not just the city council, you know, not just the UFT, but, you know, also the unions. There are, you know, union negotiations going on. And the mayor is facing a lot of pressure from different parties asking for more money. And it seems as if he came out with this memo and it's sending a message, and he's kind of doubling down on, no, I'm not going to be spending more money. I'm going to be asking my agencies to spend less. Hmm.
And I know the union reactions have been somewhat along the lines of, wait, Mr. Mayor, you can't just announce cuts that are going to affect our workers. You have to do this in collective bargaining. So we'll see where that goes. Are there certain city agencies that would be most immediately affected by the cuts in the short term that the mayor is seeking?
You know, people are looking at these really high attrition rates that are pretty widespread across all city agencies. But, you know, there are certain large departments that stand out, like Department of Buildings. I know that the Housing and Preservation Development Agency has also faced, you know, is also really struggling at this point. And that's been one of the agencies that people have focused on because they've seen a slowdown in the production of affordable housing that many city council members have found very alarming. You know, Department of Health is also really struggling as well. I mean, there are City Council member Gail Brewer last week came out with a report, and she found, you know, there were like, I think over a dozen agencies that had double digit vacancy rates.
Here's a city worker calling in, Javier in Queens. You're on WNYC. Hi, Javier.
Hi, thank you, Brian. Yes, I mean, you know, all of this goes back to recognizing that a budget is a moral document, right? And, you know, the mayor's constantly telling the public to pray for schools, for our city, for ourselves. And we're at a precipice here yet again where, you know, essential workers have not been dignified with the pay and the recognition they deserve in terms of salaries and all these different issues that are going on, while we continue to criminalize, you know, the most vulnerable. And so I think the mayor really is going to obviously try to continue doubling down until it comes up to it, to the final moments with these backdoor negotiations. And so I think it's very, very important that not just the existing city workforce that's still, you know, barely hanging on and leaving, but it's going to take a lot of push and a lot of transparency to really find out what's going on and where the money really is, so that we can direct resources to where they deserve to go.
Yeah, clearly where the money really is, so we can direct resources to where they deserve to go, is a great point. And your point that a budget is a moral document, but a budget is also a math document. And if there's less revenue coming in because the economy takes a downturn, then the city is obligated to make cuts or raise taxes, right, Javier?
Absolutely. No, that's a fiscally responsible obligation that electeds and the mayor have. But we know that there are ways to generate revenue. There are ways to do things. There are crimes, environmental crimes, labor violations taking place every day across the city. And we can generate revenue where we want to. But when we, you know, nod our heads to industry instead of to the people, then, you know, we have austerity budgets yet again. And here's the peg that we will have to resist, because our people deserve better.
Nicely put. Thank you very much for your call. And Liz, Javier mentioned people leaving their jobs. I saw something recently about more city workers. Of course, there's been the so-called Great Resignation in America the last year or two. We're going to do a segment later in the show about the quiet quitting, quote unquote, quiet quitting wave that's accompanying that now. But I guess New York City public employees have not been immune from this. I know public employees do not like Mayor Adams, as Mayor de Blasio before him, requiring that they work in person 5 days a week. And for that and other reasons, people have been leaving. Is that a problem? And or is it also an opportunity because the mayor says he wants to achieve these budget cuts without laying anybody off?
Well, it definitely does, you know, fulfill the latter. You know, he has a lot of vacancies, as I said. You know, the resignations, and there also have been a wave of retirements as well, have contributed to this very high attrition rate. And there are all these vacancies. And even though the mayor has budgeted for around 330,000 some odd employees, we're currently at around 300,000 and 400,000 city employees. He does not have to fill all those vacancies. And right now, what we're hearing is that the hiring process is so prolonged and so challenged across various agencies that the city isn't able to hire people. And then on top of that, there's the other factor, which is Mayor Adams has been very insistent that workers report to the office or report to, you know, wherever it is they work in person, 5 days a week. You know, the city workers, they went remote like everyone else during the pandemic, and they have argued that, you know, we proved that we were able to do, many of us were able to do these jobs, you know, from home. It wasn't everyone. There were many city workers who still had to report to their sites or the office, but a large number of them did. And, you know, they don't understand why in this moment, when many private employers are offering hybrid work schedules, why the city can't do that as well. So that has also made it very difficult for the city to recruit at this moment.
And on Friday, Manhattan Borough President Gail Brewer weighed in on the value, the necessity of a robust municipal workforce. Listen.
I still think we have to have a workforce to build the affordable housing, to make sure fire inspections are done, to make sure we're climate ready, and that we have all the concerns we need addressed public health-wise.
I should say City Council Member Gail Brewer, the former Manhattan Borough President. and also to that point, I saw in your story, Liz, you wrote that among the complaints of city workers is that the city is hurting its ability to hire by using a relatively new practice of lowballing new hires. Lowballing in what sense?
So this was something that came to my attention after talking to several people who are involved in hiring. And they told me that something that they've been instructed to do is that with every new hire who does not have prior experience in New York City government, they've been told that they can only offer that person the minimum of the posted range that's on the job listing. And what I was told, and you know, people shared some kind of email, some documentation and emails about this, is that it's been going on relatively recently, like maybe as early, like as early as summer of 2021. So during certainly once the pandemic started. And then what I found out is it is actually dates back to 2017. It was actually a rule that the city negotiated with the unions as part of the union. The unions wanted a raise, and the city asked for this accommodation as a way to maybe offset the cost of those raises. But then what happened was the city actually rarely ever enforced this rule. So this was something that they got in collective bargaining, supposedly to be able to save the city money. I think what happened was that on the ground, these agencies, they would see a candidate and, you know, they wanted to get, you know, the best candidate for the job. So in practice, they would offer the candidate that they liked a little more money than just the minimum. And people told me, you know, this was what traditionally happened. We saw a candidate we liked, you know, let's give them our best offer. But then once the pandemic happened, I think the city and the budget experts realized that they could go to this rule to then really start doing some belt tightening. And what they've done is, from what I could tell, you know, basically apply it universally across the board. Agencies can ask for exceptions, but any type of exception, I've been told, will really prolong the timeline of hiring someone. And hiring a municipal employee is already such a long and bureaucratic process that no hiring manager wants to go through another step. So everyone is complaining about this rule. This was something that Councilmember Brewer brought up during her hearing on Friday. And basically she was asking budget officials in the Adams administration whether they would even consider going back to the unions and asking if they could renegotiate this somehow. Adams officials basically said that, you know, they could not really talk about the ongoing negotiations, but of course, you know, recruitment was something that they would be talking about.
This is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. We are New York and New Jersey Public Radio and live streaming at WNYC.org all over the world. A few more minutes with our reporter Elizabeth Kim covering Mayor Adams' announcement yesterday that city agencies are going to have to cut their budgets because of the economy and some other factors and the implications of that. Let's take one more phone call. Crystal in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Crystal.
Hello, thank you for taking my call and for this program. As a DOE employee, I would like to see frontline service providers saved from any budget cuts, but I would desperately like to see cuts to administration. You know, witness the constant spending every year, again and again, on new and quote-unquote better programs with no improvement in student results. I think it's just, you know, like screamingly obvious that all this spinning and spending money is to look busy and pretend they have value and keep their jobs. There's not really any value in all of the constant churning in the DOE, and I think we could save ourselves so much money by facing up to that.
Crystal,
I don't know how it is across. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your call. DOE, of course, the Department of Education. We could get our education reporter, Jessica Gould, on this too, Liz, but how do you think they would respond to that at City Hall? I imagine they would defend in some way all the research that gets done and administering of new programs, and that there are improvements that have happened over time based on programs and initiatives coming from the top down. But you can get a lot of teachers and other DOE employees calling in saying exactly what Crystal said.
Starting in the beginning of the year, you know, Adams and his chancellor were talking about downsizing, you know, what they call Tweed, and, you know, the shorthand for basically
the headquarters building.
Right. Basically the shorthand for, you know, the administrators and, you know, not the so-called frontline providers, mm-hmm. which are teachers. I do wonder, though, how much his messaging on that might change given how opposed he is to the class size bill, because that would essentially mean that the city needs to hire more teachers to get to those smaller class sizes. So I think that that's an interesting question. But again, you know, technically the budget cuts say that, you know, they're not supposed to result in layoffs. I think what will in effect happen, though, is which are the vacancies that they elect to fill? You know, they'll probably be a lot more choosy about, you know, do we fill the vacancies for teachers as opposed to, you know, an administrator, you know, and that's the choices that they face.
Two things real quick before you go. Interestingly, the NYPD, which is rarely the subject of reductions, is also included in this round of cuts. Is Eric Adams going to wind up defunding the police?
So I should say that if you talk to, you know, kind of political observers, longtime political observers, you know, you will find skepticism on whether these cuts will really happen. These across the board cuts will really happen. You know, I spoke to James Parrott, who's an economist, and, you know, he gave me this great line, which I thought, which was, you know, budgets are about policies, budget actions are about politics. And he was one of those people who was very skeptical that he said this memo is very attention getting, but he really sees it as a response, not just to the economic headwinds that Adams is facing, but the political headwinds, right, that we talked about at the top with, you know, he needs to sit down with the unions and their members. It's coming at a point where, you know, city workers feel, and rightly so, they took risks during the pandemic, and they kept the city working and open. So it's coming at a time where they say that, you know, where there's very high inflation and their, you know, costs of living have increased. So these kinds of pressures that the mayor is facing, you could kind of view this memo as a response to that. Whether this actually gets actualized, I think is a fair question. I think that some people, you know, are rightly skeptical that he's going to, in fact, follow through on a cut, across the board cut to every agency, especially the NYPD, when he has prioritized public safety.
Interesting. And last thing, you asked the mayor yourself about some of this, and I think he put it in a larger perspective than New York City. You want to set this up for us, this clip?
Yeah. So, you know, I basically asked the mayor to respond to this staffing crisis that the city is facing and, you know, whether he thinks that his administration needs to try some new, more aggressive approaches to recruit city workers.
We have to be honest and clear here. This is a national problem. I don't know if people... I'm not quite sure if we're really realizing what's happening in this country. When I speak to my corporate leaders, they're saying, Eric, we're having a problem getting engineers, accountants, attorneys. This is a national problem that we are having.
Really?
He's right. He's absolutely right. This is, you know, hiring in both the public and private sector has been a problem because basically, you know, there were a lot of resignations there during the pandemic, and now there's been a wave of hiring. The problem for state and local governments is that their hiring is trailing that of the private sector. Typically, the private sector can offer more money and, as I said, maybe more flexibility around remote work. So there's really, it's not just New York City that's having this problem. Other state and local governments are also having difficulty in finding workers. But I think, you know, New York City being the largest city and the largest municipal employer, and, you know, as City Council Member Gail Brewer said during the hearing, you know, her interjection to a lot of this was, but we want the best. And I think that that's the expectation here. And that's what Adams faces, is how does he keep this city running without being able to recruit basically the next generation of quality public servants?
WNYC and Gothamist mayoral power reporter Elizabeth Kim. Liz, thanks for your reporting on this. As always, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Brian.